Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
If you'd like to be seated. I want to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of morning prayer today. And in our service, we're going to be thinking a little bit about when we get doubts in our lives and about the possibility of transformation and faith and the difference that can make to our doubts. That's the theme of our service today, and we have the notices which you'll have seen on your way in on the screen. Just wanted to mention one or two things that are happening this week that don't happen every week. Tonight we have a special service of hymns and readings for Easter. That's at 7 o'clock this evening, and all of our regular activities are resuming their activities throughout the week. On this coming Wednesday afternoon, the Ladies' Afternoon Friendship Group are meeting at 2 o'clock, and there's going to be somebody speaking about beekeeping. And at that meeting, there'll be the chance both to taste and to purchase some honey. And all ladies of the parish are welcome on Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. On Wednesday night, a new Alpha course begins for those who might like to explore questions of faith and life online. And if you'd like to be part of that, just have a word with Andy or myself after the service. On Thursday evening, the parish prayer meeting is going to be resuming online at 7 o'clock. So those, again, who would wish to be part of that, just have a word with us and you can get the link to join in. And on Saturday morning, there is another work party on the church grounds between 9 and 11. If people are free and are able to help, we'd be very grateful for your help. Next Sunday afternoon, our confirmation classes are beginning for those in their teens. They're at 5 o'clock in the church hall. And if there are any adults who'd be interested in preparing for confirmation, do please have a word with us at the end of the service. Also, at the back of the church today, the church wardens have the list of items that we hope to set in place in the house that we hope to rent for the Ukrainian refugee family that we hope to be able to support in the coming year. If you'd like to be involved in that, do please ask the wardens for a list, and there's a number to call if you can help with items on that list. We're going to stand together to sing our opening hymn, a hymn that invites God's love and his spirit to come among us as we sing hymn, Come Down, O Love Divine.
Oh, Good morning, and you're very welcome to this service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our psalm this morning is Psalm 118, and it begins at verse 14, verses 14 to 29. The Lord is my strength.
The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Joyful shouts of salvation sound from the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does mighty deeds. The right hand of the Lord raises up. The right hand of the Lord does mighty deeds. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has punished me sorely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Come, O Lord, and save us, we pray. Come, Lord, send us now prosperity. My heart tells of your word. Seek my face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not your face from me, nor cast your servant away in displeasure. For you have been my helper. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God. He has given us light. Link the pilgrims with cords, right to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will thank you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Please take your seats for our first reading.
Our Our Old Testament reading today is from the book of Job, chapter 42, beginning to read at verse 1. Then Job replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, 'Who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge?' Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, 'Listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me.' My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." This is the word of the Lord.
During this next hymn, I'm going to ask children and young people and their leaders to go through next door for Sunday school. And let's stand and sing together, "He is Lord." Please take your seats for the next reading.
Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. John in the 20th chapter, beginning at the 19th verse. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. And so the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This Tuesday, there will be a Bible course starting, a diocesan Bible course. It runs from 7:30 p.m. until 9:30 p.m., just down the road in St. Donard's. We're going to watch a video now by way of introduction.
The Bible really is like no other book in the world. 66 books written by something like 40 different human authors, written over a period of 1,500 years, on three continents, in three languages. But you know, the most incredible thing about the Bible is that it claims to be the Word of God. This is where we hear God speak. This is where we find wisdom to live out our lives. This is where we find out who Jesus is and why he came. I'm Josh Hooker. I'm a Bible teacher and a Crosslinks mission partner. And I'd like to invite you along to the Diocesan Bible course starting this spring. This course is for Christians at any stage of their Christian experience. It's for anyone who wants to know more about the Bible and how it relates to their lives. I think it would be particularly useful for Sunday school teachers, for youth group leaders, for small group leaders. But you don't need to know lots about the Bible already. There are no exams or assignments. Our aim is that you will know the Bible and love the Bible. So we're going to meet here in St. Donard's, and there are three modules that we're going to be looking at. They'll last for 10 weeks each, and they'll run over the next year with a break for the summer. But our sessions are going to be relaxed but informative. What are we going to study? Module one is an overview of the New Testament. We're going to look at all 27 books of the New Testament, but we're going to do so devotionally. We want you to treasure them as the Word of God. We want you to live by them and love them. But most of all, we want you to meet Jesus through the pages of the New Testament and follow him more and love him more. Module two is an overview of the Old Testament. With an eye on the history of Israel, we're going to move book by book through this section of the Bible. We're going to see how it's organized. We're going to see what different types of literature you can find there. But we're also going to see that the Old Testament is important for Christians today. We ignore it at our peril, because these ancient books point us to Jesus. In module three, we go behind the scenes of the New Testament. We get to find answers to our who, when, where, what questions. Have you ever wondered who the Pharisees were and what they believed? Or what a phylactery is? Or where Philippi was? Have you ever wondered what happened in those 400 years between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament? In this module, you'll get to see the New Testament come alive. I hope I've really whetted your appetite. All the information you need to know about the course is here in this leaflet. Why not ask your minister for a copy or go to the Down and Dromore website to find it there? I'm really looking forward to meeting you and excited to be teaching this course because this book is the book that every Christian needs to know. This book helps us to know God better. This book tells us about Jesus. So why not join us this year to study the most important book in the world?
So that starts this Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. until 9:30 p.m. I've known a few people over the years who have gone to the course and they find it enlivening and helpful. They've enjoyed other people's company as well. It's good to get out of the house, even just for that. It's on our website, and it's on the diocesan website. You may need to register in advance, so go online and have a look at that. And if you haven't spent at least some time this week wondering what a phylactery is, I don't know what you're thinking. So it'll be a good course. Let's stand together and say the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. A special prayer for today, the second Sunday of Easter. Almighty Father, you have given your only Son to die for our sins and to rise again for our justification. Grant us so to put away the leaven of malice and wickedness, that we may always serve you in pureness of living and truth, through the merits of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing together, Dear Lord and Father of our mankind.
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One Easter Sunday afternoon, I think about 20 years ago now, I was bleeped into St. Vincent's Hospital in Dublin, where I was chaplain at the time as part of my parish duties, to see someone who had requested to speak to a Church of Ireland chaplain. And when the nurse at the desk gave me my instructions as to where to go, I got quite a surprise when I went through the door of the ward to be greeted by the words, "John O'Pierce, what on earth are you doing here?" And it turned out that the person that I was going in to see had been a classmate of mine from secondary school. And if I'm being totally honest, she wouldn't have been the sort of person that I would have expected to call for a chaplain, from what I remembered of her. And judging from her response, I don't think I would have been the person she had in mind when the chaplain arrived. But interesting things happen in people's lives over the years. And when I thought back to my memories of this girl from her school days, I remember someone who had been very rebellious, someone who listened to very alternative music, wore as alternative clothes as she could get away with, someone who read very strange and disturbing books, and someone who had lots of piercings at a time when people weren't allowed to have piercings. So if I was to be totally honest, I would say at a time in my life when girls made me nervous anyway, she was even more terrifying than most. And she was the sort of girl that I did my best during my school days to stay well out of her way. But just a few years prior to this call I got from the hospital, this same girl had decided to explore the claims of Jesus Christ. And as a mature adult, she decided that she would like to be confirmed. And she went on to become part of a church community in a suburb of Dublin where she was living at the time. And she liked to teach Sunday school and to share the gift of faith with the children in her church. And it was very special that Easter Sunday afternoon to reflect a little bit on the direction that our lives had taken. We hadn't seen each other probably in over 12 years, I think, at the time. And then to be able to share Holy Communion. We celebrated the fact that Jesus is alive and evidently at work in the lives of people today. And that's why we love to promote courses like the Diocesan Bible course that's about to begin on Tuesday, or our own parish online Alpha course that's about to begin on Wednesday, because it gives those opportunities to people who are curious to explore maybe a little bit more about who was Jesus, what was he about, and those sorts of questions that are at the very heart of our New Testament reading today. Our New Testament reading was about the first Easter Sunday evening. And I suppose for many of us who are here, Easter Sunday might seem like quite a long time ago. It's only a week ago. And yet in many churches around the world, the figures show that usually between a third or a half of the worshipers who were in church buildings and on Easter Sunday around the world will be unlikely to be back the following week. That's not a judgment, it's just the reality, and it's a fact of life. It's hard to sustain the joy of Easter once Easter is over and the memory of it gets further away, rather like those nice chocolate eggs that were all on the table last week. And no one knew this better than John, who wrote his gospel at the end of the first century. And John, when he wrote his gospel, was addressing people just like you and me, who had never seen or heard Jesus in the flesh. And John's problem, which is a continuing problem for the church, was how to encourage people in the faith when Jesus was no longer around to be seen or to be touched. And by telling the story of Thomas, that gave John a way to do that. Because by detailing Thomas's struggle to believe, John took the words right out of our mouths and gave them to Thomas instead, so that each one of us has the opportunity to think about how we come or don't come to believe. All of the disciples who were there that first Sunday evening saw the risen Lord Jesus. And if we were to try to put ourselves in their shoes or sandals, even for a few moments, and we try to imagine what it was like to meet together behind locked doors, we could probably be fairly confident in saying that this group of men were not in top form when they gathered together. They were extremely scared, and they were frightened that the next knock on the door would be the same authorities who would take them out, just in the way they had taken Jesus out, and they wouldn't be coming back. But on that first Easter Sunday evening, Jesus came to them. He came to that frightened group of men behind locked doors. And for whatever reason, Thomas wasn't there, but all of the rest of them were. And they were so convinced that it was Jesus who had come among them that afterwards they told Thomas about what had happened. And they believed that he would take their word for it, because it was such an incredible moment for them to experience together. And it was also incredible for them to be able to recount what had happened to their friend Thomas. Jesus was back. He was alive again. And it's true that he was still wounded, because he was able to show them his hands and his side. But they were also able to tell Thomas he had forgiven them. He who had every right to hunt them down and to punish them for deserting him in the cowardly way that they did not accuse them. But rather he said, "Peace be with you." And he had spoken these beautiful, incredible words of healing to them with those words. And not only that, but he had then entrusted these first disciples with a new task. He'd made them his partners in carrying his message of healing and forgiveness to the whole world. What an incredible experience for them on that first Easter Sunday evening. This was incredibly joyful news that these disciples were sharing with their friend Thomas. But then, in one of the greatest anticlimaxes in Scripture, instead of asking, "When do I start?" Thomas said instead, "Unless I see for myself, I'm not going to believe." And I guess those words make Thomas sort of like a stand-in for all of us who want to see things for ourselves before we decide if they're true or they're not. And yet in one of his most generous gestures ever, Jesus didn't dismiss Thomas from his circle of friends for failing to trust what others had told him. But on the contrary, Jesus made sure that Thomas was included in that circle by coming back and repeating the whole scene a second time, just 1 week later, for his benefit only. And no one now had to take anyone's word for anything, because when Jesus came back that second time, they had all seen and believed, including Thomas. And maybe we're sitting here this morning and we're scratching our head and we're thinking, well, maybe that seems to leave us all out, all of us who were not there, all of us who will never lay eyes on or hands on the concrete person of Jesus. But it's then that Jesus speaks not only to Thomas, but to all of us as well. When he said, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." And you know, that's us that Jesus is talking about. It's both the generations before us and us, and the generations who will come after us. We have never seen Jesus in the flesh, and all we have to go on is the testimony of other people, those who were there, those who realized that they were privileged, and they wrote it down for us. And although they are long dead, they begged us to take their word for what they saw and what they experienced. And so men like John and the other gospel writers and the writers that people are going to learn about in the Bible course, they wrote down everything they could remember about Jesus. And they wrote those stories down as accurately as they possibly could, because they knew that these stories would have power. And they even included some stories that they themselves found puzzling or confusing or even offensive, because they were the stories that they knew people would keep coming back to and trying to understand. The stories that we have about Jesus enable us to know him, to have hope, and to be transformed. And that's what all these courses that we seek to offer are all about, the opportunity to find faith when maybe we haven't had it before, or maybe we've lost it because of our circumstances, or because of something that has gone wrong in our lives. And so maybe that's why the church over the centuries has made such a big deal of Thomas, because it's always an incredibly powerful thing to meet doubters who come to believe. It's amazing when we meet people who are journeying through suffering and even death, convinced that they are not alone. Yesterday, I attended the funeral of a friend of mine who I've known for many years, a very fit and active and vigorous person who was struck down with a rapid illness and who died within a very short space of time. But as the minister spoke about him yesterday in that funeral service, he spoke about the difference faith had made to this man, not just in his life, but as he approached his death. And he spoke about how even in hospital and when he was ill at home, he would play hymns and worship songs. He would speak to those who came to visit him and say, well, there's people a lot worse off than I am, because he said, I know where I'm going. I have that hope in front of me. And so whenever we meet people like that, or whenever we meet people who have been doubters and they come to believe, it has an incredible impact upon the world around us. And it's this kind of movement from doubt to faith that means unlikely people seek to speak to hospital chaplains. And the most unlikely people of all become those chaplains. And all of these things together point us to the wonderful truth that we celebrate, particularly at this time of year, that Jesus is alive. And when we become convinced of that, if we do, and my prayer is that we all do, if we become convinced that Jesus is alive, things will never be the same again. Let us pray. Lord, we pray this morning for all who search for faith in you around the world. And we pray for all who doubt and struggle to believe because of difficult experiences in their lives. And so we pray today for those who suffered bereavement and illness and the betrayal of their trust. We pray for those who feel let down by the church, disappointed by the response they got when they sought help or support at a difficult point in their journey. We pray for those who feel so disappointed or disillusioned that they've left the church or given up on the search. And so we would ask you to help us, Lord, to reach out in courageous and imaginative ways as we seek to make you known in the world today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world, and we continue to pray for all who are traumatized by the war in Ukraine and by wars throughout the world. We pray for displaced families. We pray for all who remain trapped in war zones. And we pray for soldiers and military people under orders to do terrible things to other people, to bomb and to maim and to destroy buildings and people. And we pray for the healing of the psychological wounds and all who will seek to support and help in those people's lives going forward. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. We pray today for all who are homeless in our cities and throughout the province. We pray particularly for those who are addicted and those who become estranged from their families because of their addiction. We pray for the rebuilding of trust and for all who are involved in counseling and rehab programs. We want to take some quiet moments to pray for those known to us
who are going through tough times, either at home or in hospital or in nursing homes. And in the quietness as we pray, we ask you would meet with them at their point of need and bring what's most needed at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Let's respond to what we've heard this morning by singing together, Christ is risen, hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning, whether you're here today in person or worshiping with us online at home. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to join together and to celebrate, especially celebrate the Easter message. Let's close with a blessing prayer. God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, raise you up to walk with him in the newness of risen life. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you now and all days. Our closing hymn is Jesus, my Lord, my God, my all.